Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. And Mimi's on vacation, but I'm holding the fort. We had scheduled a one-hour pre-produced a conversation with Harry Belafonte for the day's program, but we'll only be playing the second half in the second half of this show and reserve the first half for next week. So we'll be playing that Harry Belafonte special, the first half at 2:30, and then a week from today, the second half of it. But because of the developments at BAI over this past weekend, we can't be just about business as usual, because what has transpired over the weekend was not business as usual. What happened this weekend? Well, we'll hear from Terminated Program Director and former morning show host Bernard White with Terminated Morning Show Executive Producer and Shop Steward Sharon Louise Harper. It was certainly not business as usual. Executive Director of Pacifica Radio Bessie Wash came in the dead of night Friday night before the Christmas weekend with Utrecht Lead and proceeded to change all the locks at the station. It's not business as usual when the station manager is replaced and Utrecht takes the job despite repeated urgings at station meetings that no one be compliant with intervention by the National Board in the question of replacement of the station manager. And it's certainly not business as usual when producers were denied access to the station over the weekend. Only producers with scheduled programs were let in initially over the weekend, and only later were producers let in to do their work. I understand there will be a union grievance filed on the subject. And finally, long-term producer and program director Bernard White and Sharon Louise Harper, the morning show's executive producer, were hand-delivered termination notices early Saturday morning and warned not to trespass on the premises of WBAI. All of this is not business as was usual, and we hope that this is not what usual business will become at WBAI. This is a community radio station, but the listeners and staff are now onlookers seeing our station being transformed before our eyes. The local advisory board is not listened to. The staff and listeners play no role. Yet these are the constituents of the WBAI community. And if we are to move forward and not backwards, Mimi and I urge listeners and staff to mobilize. On Wednesday night at 6:30 at Local 32BJ, there'll be a meeting of listeners and we hope a lot of staff. That's this Wednesday at 6:30 at Local 32BJ, 101 6th Avenue, just north of Canal Street. There'll also be daily pickets starting tomorrow from 4 to 6 in the afternoon at WBAI. And the hotline numbers to call for more information are 1-800-825-0055. That's 1-800-825-0055 or 718-707-7189. But now let's welcome back by telephone connection to people who cannot come into the station. They have done so much to build. Bernard White and Sharon Louise Harper, we want their part of the story, and we'll go to the Harry Belafonte special at 2:30 after we talk with Bernard and Sharon. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you for inviting me, Ken.
Good afternoon, Ken, and good afternoon to the listeners.
Bernard, tell us how you learned of the severance of your connection with WBAI.
Well, at about 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, 7:05, someone began to ring my doorbell incessantly, and I called out the window to find out who it was, and a young man was out there who said he had a package for me. So when I came downstairs, he said that a pack package for you to sign. So I looked, it was an envelope, and he told me I had to sign for it. So I said, well, sign what? So I opened up the envelope, signed the envelope with two checks, as well as a letter which stated that I had been terminated and that I was not allowed on the premises. If I came on the premises, that it would be considered trespassing. And, of course, the clear implication of that is that I would be arrested. That the two checks that I got were my severance pay, and that my belongings would be shipped to me. And it didn't state anything about what the reasons were for the termination. So I refused to sign it, and I gave it back to him. By the time I got back upstairs, he was ringing the doorbell again, and I just didn't go back downstairs. However, when I left the building later on in the day, I noticed that the two checks had been slid into the door, but the letter was not.
Well, where's the letter from?
The letter was from Bessie Wash, written on Pacifica stationery.
Sharon, is your experience pretty much the same as Bernard's?
It was similar to Bernard's. In fact, I was on the phone with Bernard when the doorbell rang, and my termination came about 8:45 a.m. I was on the phone with Al Lewis at the time, and the doorbell rang. It was someone asking for Sharon Harper. I responded that there was no Sharon Harper here, and then suddenly he, you know, figured out my name was Sharon from somewhere, and he said he had something for me. After knowing what Bernard's experience had been earlier in the morning, I put Grandpa on hold and called the Chief Steward, and I...
You put Grandpa on hold?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And so I was back and forth between the two of them, but I went to the door. He handed me an envelope, and I said, you have to sign for it. I opened it, and inside was a letter, and my letter read over the signature of Bessie Wash that I had been terminated, that there were severance checks amounting to 2 weeks severance pay, that if I believed I had further compensation coming, I should have to explain to her why in writing, that my belongings would be sent to me, and that I was not to enter the premises. If I did so, it would be considered trespass. I told him, thank you, and he said he needed for me to sign the letter. I told him I was not going to sign the letter and give it back to him. I needed the letter, and he took the letter from my hand, and I handed him back the checks. And he said, well, you have to sign it. And I said once again that I would not. And he told me I couldn't have the letter. So he offered me the checks. I like Bernard, said no. And they were placed under my door. I discovered it later. And the interesting thing is that these checks were dated the 20th of December. So this was, I guess, determined earlier in the week that this was going to be the action taken.
Well, neither one of these cases, either one of you was informed of the reason why you were being terminated. Is that correct?
That's correct.
No, no reason was given.
Why do you suppose they did this?
Why do I suppose it happened?
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine that the person who has assumed the position of station manager figures that in order to execute her responsibilities as she sees them would have to get rid of anybody who might be in opposition to that. You know, there have been a lot of talk about this not being a crisis, and that is not true. The crisis, as I saw it, and had stated it, and also stated a possible resolution, was how do we deal with if we all agree that there should be the removal of a station manager. How do we then proceed to do that? And one of the things that I have contended is that we do not invite Pacifica in to do that, that we do that internally. And I was told on several occasions that, that you know, by Utrecht Lee, that she didn't care about whether Pacifica came in, that she was primarily interested in just getting rid of the station manager. And I tried to inform her on several occasions that it was paramount that we determine how that happens, because if we don't, once Pacifica sets the precedent of removing somebody from WBAI, they can come back at any point and remove anybody for any reason. And we see that that's exactly what has happened already.
Sharon, what are your thoughts on why this is happening right now?
I have several thoughts, but I would say this. Even though my termination letter was signed by Bessie Walsh, I am not a manager at the station. I've had no interaction with Ms. Walsh except for the afternoon when she came to visit the staff in early December. I can't imagine how she would even know that I exist other than by collaboration with someone at the station who would know me, my thoughts.
Or someone's, yes.
I am a member of the union shop. I am not an at-will employee. There is a contract rollover in place. While we have been unable to negotiate a new contract, we have for the last few years been rolling over the current contract month to month with agreement with the station manager and the chief steward. However, given the tenuous nature of what would happen if Valerie were to leave us on December 31st, we tried to get a longer contract to protect workers, and we were able on the 18th to get a rollover of the contract for 9 months. So right now I am employed subject to a contract between Pacifica, WBAI, and UE Local 404. And the parties to that negotiation of the rollover were myself, who was a sharp shop steward, R. Paul Martin, and Utrice Lead, who up until she became the general manager on Friday night was also a shop steward, and she was a signatory to that agreement. So my firing is, in essence, illegal. It's a violation of the contract. It has provision in there for what's known as progressive discipline. So if there were some offense that I have committed, then certainly I have not yet received any discipline for it at all. I've received no warnings. I've received no notice. It's, in essence, an illegal firing, and it's not one that we can say that the new administration is ignorant about, in as much as the general manager has come from the ranks of the shop committee. So I have to question why. I think they're going to have to fill in the answers. I know that I have certainly not been a collaborator. I have spoken out at staff meetings against people who I believed, because there was a sense that there were people who had opened the door to let Pacifica in. And I have on several occasions asked people to identify themselves as such and to, you know, cease the collaboration. So I suppose it has to do with my position about the need for us to, you know, to protect the station as a place where free speech is, you know, always heard, and to try to protect the integrity of what we've held on to for such a long time. I should, you know, think that this is what has probably caused my termination, something as horrific as declaring the need for free speech.
So you'll be filing a grievance on the station.
The grievance has been filed, as I understand it. I have filed a formal request for grievance with the union.
Bernard, in terms of the decisions that are going to be made in this station in the next period of time, what do you see as the role of the remaining staff of the community? How do things get worked out here from now on that you see?
Well, you know, this was a decision that the staff, and I would say about 98% of the staff, and when I talk about staff, as I have always maintained, that staff at WBAI is both those people that are paid as well as the unpaid workers. And the, the overwhelming majority, way up in the 90s, has said on several occasions when we have been assembled that however we resolve this, that we did not want Pacifica to be the final one to make the decision, that we wanted to make it internally. And that was violated a handful of people, a cabal of individuals, got together and decided that they would speak for everyone without consultation from anyone. They did not talk to the community. They did not abide by the wishes of the majority of the staff. They made this determination that they would, in collaboration with Bessie Wash, decide that they would come in. That night when she came in to change all of the locks, Eutrice Lee and many of the folks that were involved were there with her. If this was such a good idea and the staff went for it, why couldn't it have been done during the day? Anyway, I think that the staff has to, since they've already spoken out and said that this isn't what they wanted, that they have to tell the listeners that, you know, that this is not what they wanted. That they did not want to in any way collaborate with Pacifica in doing this, that it should be an internal thing, that we can devise our own mechanisms for resolving this kind of issue. So I would hope that the staff would continue to follow the policy that they said that they were going to follow, a policy of non-collaboration with anyone who would be appointed by Pacifica, because this is not a staff appointee. Yeah, there might have been a few individuals who said that, you know, you should take the job, but the staff did not say that. And I would expect for them to stand up for what they said they were going to do and not collaborate. Secondly, I think the community, you know, we've done a lot of, I know I've done a lot of work with the community. Wake Up Call has done a lot of work with the community. I think I know that the community, one of the things that unites the WBAI community is that they have a feeling for when things are not right. And I'm sure that as they begin to hear more of the information about what has gone on, they'll understand that this was not the right way to do that. And I'm sure that they will respond intelligently. It's an extremely intelligent audience. There's a meeting that's going to take place at 101 6th Avenue on Wednesday at 6:30. I imagine that there will be many, many people out there. I think that these folks have overplayed their hand, that they don't, that they didn't recognize or don't recognize that, that the listeners understand that once you give Pacifica, let them set this precedent, that in the short term, yes, the folks that are there might wind up getting a lot from Pacifica, but in the long term, Pacifica has other designs. And you can see those designs as they have manifested themselves in three of the five radio stations that make up the Pacifica Foundation. So I think that the people in the community have to come and show their outrage, have to come and find out the some more information about what's going on, that this is a crisis, that it all is not lost, that the folks can come together and begin to apply pressure to make sure that that WBAI can make its own decision, have its own autonomy. And if they decide that they want whomever they want to be station manager or even program director, that they have the right to make that determination.
You know, Sharon,
before you say that, I'd just like to invite, we have time for about two or three calls from the community, 219-2900, area code 21, can't hold it for a second. Okay. Right now we can't take any listener phone calls. I'm sorry about that. There'll be another time for that. So let's keep this conversation going, and there'll be another time for taking community phone calls. Sharon, I'm sorry.
What I was going to say in answer to a previous question, I think one of the intentions in firing Bernard and me was to have a chilling effect on the rest of the staff. I believe that there are people who are afraid, who feel that they will, you know, lose their airtime, lose their programs, lose the chance to have issues that are important brought out across the airwaves. But I don't think that this is any different from any other place where there is repression. You see things change gradually. And I think that it's up to the listeners and the staff to demand free speech, to demand the ability to to bringing the issues of human rights and social justice and to maintain it at the same level. I mean, our listeners are not stupid, and they don't have to be told what to think. They have ears and they can hear. So they will be able to tell whether or not there is, you know, a diminution of the type of reporting. They don't have to go by anything that we say. They will be able to tell by the actions that are taking place. And I would charge the listeners and the members of the staff to be a monitor, to monitor our airwaves and see if you're hearing the same level of Mumia coverage, if you're able to hear about Palestinian issues, if we know what's happening in Cuba, if we can hear many of the human rights and social justice issues articulated, police brutality issues, if we can hear speech against government policies, if we can have guests that we won't hear on other airwaves. So I think it's really incumbent upon all of us to demand that free speech continue. And it's really not about whether Bernard or I have jobs or not, because jobs come and go. In terms of a program, I carry my program with me wherever I go, whether it's in radio, whether it's in a school, wherever I am. So on that personal level, there won't be any loss for me. But in terms of what it means to the public, in terms of the changes that we have seen in legislature, you know, we've seen new voices being legislated out of ability to start up in radio. We've just seen that Congress has just about decimated any ability for micro radio to abound in this country. And we are pretty much, along with our sister station in the Bay Area, the last stand. This is about people's freedom. It is about human rights and social justice. It's about the poor. It's about the homeless. It's about the voiceless. And if we don't demand that they keep this station at the same level, I cannot say what it would mean.
And it's also about access. As you know, Ken, on Wake Up Call, one of the things that we have provided for community groups is almost instant access. People would call me up in the middle of the night with something important, and they would wind up getting on the program the next day. And I dare say that there's no other program that has provided the kind of access that Wake Up Call does. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm not there that that can't happen, but I don't think that that philosophy is there anymore, that, you know, the two, both Sharan and me and as well as Janice K. Bryant and Amy Goodman, were able to, or flexible enough, or open enough, or had the philosophy that, you know, these airwaves actually do belong to the people in our community. So almost instantaneously, if something would arise, we would provide them with access. And I'm sure that if you look through the day, that that doesn't happen to the degree that it happened on Wake Up Call. And I don't think that that will be, that will continue to be the case.
And let's not forget Errol Maitland, who put his life on the line to bring listeners, you know, the story of what was happening at the Dartmouth funeral.
Also part of Wake Up Call.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, if you think maybe 2 or 3 months from now, what do you think maybe changed at WBAI? What do you think the direction is going to be coming in? Who's going to be determining that direction?
Well, I think that what I can, you know, I hate to be optimistic, but I got a feeling that we have entered, on a slippery slope here where the listeners are going to feel betrayed once they begin to hear what's going to happen and once they recognize, once they get a lot of the information. And they'll probably not support the station to the degree that it has been supported. At that point, Pacifica will have to make another move. Either there'll be an infusion of cash from who knows where, or there'll be a justification for a reorganization of, a further reorganization of WBAI. These are the kinds of things that I was trying to hold off by talking to some of those same members that were part of this cabal, to come up with some alternative to inviting Pacifica in. But I think it was their own selfish desire for revenge that colored their reasoning. And although they've been able to present themselves as being objective and being friendly, I think that the listeners will hear stories unfold that will show that that is not the case. So I think that in the coming months, there will be a greater presence of Pacifica at WBAI, because WBAI won't be able to meet the kind of responsibilities that we've been able to meet. Because as you know, the deficit has been eradicated, came in with a balanced budget. We now have a $70,000 surplus. Didn't just happen. That was done with careful planning. Even in the opposition, there were some members of the group who even boycotted a lot of the fundraisers that we have, and we still were able to make it. So, you know, I don't think the kind of planning, the kind of understanding of WBAI's history, of the philosophy of Lou Hill, although there'll be a lot of lip service paid to it, I don't think that they will be able to carry it out, because you got to be able to understand the history in order to be able to move forward, and I don't think they have that history right now.
Sure, we've got about 3 minutes before we start the Harry Belafonte special, and they're yours.
They're mine? I don't know if I need 3 minutes.
Okay.
You know, I don't have an idea. I don't have a crystal ball. I have hopes. And I do have hopes that those within the still on the inside would fight for free speech and the principles on which this radio station was founded. I hope that there can be some way, with the demand from the listeners, with the demand from producers inside, that we can maintain the level that we had of access to the community, in which we treat community issues with the same importance that we treat international issues. I remember when I came here, I asked one question. I said, I know there's only one struggle in the world, and it has different faces and different facets, but there's really only one struggle against injustice and oppression, and I needed to know how to present it. And that's really true. There are people struggling all over the world, locally as well as internationally, who need these airwaves, who need to have their stories told in a place where large corporations don't control what goes up. The truth needs to be heard, and we have to stand strong and tall to maintain it for our listeners.
And one final thing, Ken. I think that people, folks are really using Samori Marksman's name in a real nasty kind of way, I think. That they're using his name to give credence and meaning to what it is that they're doing, and I think that we have to really watch that. As I said at his funeral, people will begin to invoke his name to give credence and value to what they're doing. If they're doing what they're doing, just do it. Don't try and muddy up the name of Samori Marksman, because he was against this. He was firmly against Pacifica coming into WBAI.
And I do want to remind people that there will be a meeting of concerned listeners and staff at Local 32BJ. That's at 101 6th Avenue, and that's going to be Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. That's a few blocks north of Canal Street. There'll be vigils between 4 and 6 p.m. daily at the station, 120 Wall Street. And the hotline number to call for more information are 800-825-0055. That's 800-825-0055, or area code 718-707-7189. That's 718-707-7189. And I want to thank my guests, Sharon Louise Harper and Bernard White, for being with us, and we hope that they will continue to be with us. And we, as we segue into the Harry Belafonte special, the first part of one we're going to start in about a second, and that's going to be for about a half an hour, and then we're going to be completing this